Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the heart and how important it is to understand the heart. Your heart is what you center your life around. What you think about the most, what you give your energies, what you invest your time in, it's really your heart. Where's your heart? God says He wants us to love Him with all our heart. All your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. And love your neighbor as yourself. See, when you put Him first in your life, then you're able to love your neighbor as yourself. You see that? He has to be first. When we center our lives around Him, then He puts everything else in its proper place. And so, that's really why we're here, is to love people and help people. That's our whole purpose in life. And that's what we want to do. We want to fulfill God's will. And the Bible teaches that the heart, out of the heart, in Proverbs 4, it says, out of the heart springs the issues of life. So in other words, where you are today has come from your very own heart. You can't blame anybody for where you are today. See that? So it comes from your heart. And so the idea is, when you understand that, it's going to make you look at a few things. And that's what God is doing. He always wants to recalibrate our vision and give us revelation knowledge so we can see what's important in life and really see who you are and really begin to understand who you are. Because he wants your, remember I talked about esteem? He wants you, when you're connected to your source, your true esteem starts to come up. Esteem is value. You value yourself because you're connected to your source. And now that's going to cause you to treat others differently. You see that? And when you begin to do that, life takes on all new meaning. All new meaning. I always say, it doesn't matter if you were conceived in a Volkswagen with roof, with holes in the roof and holes in the floorboard, under a bridge, in a thunderstorm, and the wind blowing, and you don't even know who your parents are, God has a plan for your life. God put you here for a reason and a purpose, and that's discovered in the church. When you're connected in the church, He said, I'm going to build my church. Remember? The church is not this building. It's people. And so that's the whole idea. So now, what you and I have to do is we have to understand revelation and vision. Revelation and vision. We are not just human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And the word revelation means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. So when we get revelation, we get direction in life. Now, we talked last week about in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord was rare, but there was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord was rare. Now, if you just read that and you don't really capture what that's saying, then you'll miss it. If you just read that, it's like God wasn't speaking. But He was speaking. The word rare there means precious and valuable. The word of the Lord was rare, precious, and valuable. But there was no widespread revelation. So the idea is the people didn't value God's what God was saying. So they didn't get the revelation. And remember, revelation means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. It also means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So the churches where God's word is spoken over you prophetically, and it uncovers areas of your life that God's not stewarding and God's not over, you haven't given over to Him, it uncovers those areas so you can begin to give those areas of your life to Him. And really, and now your life, you're becoming who you are. You see that? Your true identity. Those areas that of, you know, could be an addiction, it could be, you know, your finances, your relationships, your sentiment, your attitude, all that, God wants to redeem it. See that? To redeem it. Back to deem what God deemed most important in life. He wants to show you what's most important. You see this? And now you're becoming who you are. Stable. Secure. Corona what? You understand who you are. Am I making sense? You're not full of fear, anxiety. You weren't even created for worry and anxiety. You're created to have peace. See that? You're created to walk in joy and righteousness. When we begin to walk that way, life takes on a whole new meaning. It only happens when we're in touch with our source, Jesus. Now, we're going to look at this area of the heart today. We're going to talk about power. Everybody say power. Everybody likes power, don't they? We need power. I need power. You need power. Let's go to our vision. See, the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. Or where there's no vision, the people cast off restraints. Anything goes. But where there is vision, it brings restraints. The restraints are to assist you in doing God's will. When you do God's will, woo, life is good. See that? Come on, am I making sense? I know I'm preaching a little bit already, so stay with me. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Father, we thank You for Your presence today. We thank You for all that You're showing us in this hour. Lord, we pray that Your Holy Spirit, and we pray for all that's going on in our country. We pray for unity. We pray for peace. But Lord, we know that true peace and true unity is only going to be found in You. So Lord, build Your church. Establish Your church. Establish Your people, Lord. Father, we thank You for it, and we're going to trust You in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. Now, this idea of power is something we really have to take a look at. Because power is authority. And God, and you know what? We all have a desire for power. All of us. We all have a desire to have power, to control, right? But in God's kingdom, it's altogether different. When we understand power, we change. Now, it says the Lord, but the Lord tests the heart. It says the refining pot is for silver. Now, when they refined silver, they would heat it up and remove all the impurities. And the silversmith, when he's standing there, he looks down at the top of that crucible, he sees a reflection of himself, becomes a mirror, his image. See, that's what he wants to do. He wants his image to show up in your life. And it comes through tests and trials. Heat. Difficulties. See that? Gold is the same way. When gold is refined, they heat it up. All the impurities come to the top. They scoop it out. And the gold actually in its purest state is transparent. You can see through it. When you pass the test, people can see Jesus in you. See that? That's what happens. And we're going to be tested. God never tempts anyone, but he will test you continuously. Every day we take tests. So that's what we've been talking about here in this church, how God is testing our hearts. But he doesn't tempt us, but he will test us. Now, go with me to Acts 1:8. Last week was the birth of the church, Pentecost Sunday. Now, we must learn to steward our God-given authority. We have to learn to steward our God-given authority. All of us have a desire for power, and that desire comes from God. But here's the idea. It has to be under his auspices. And when it's under his auspices, that power is flowing through you. Now, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And to the end of the earth. Now these young men you've seen, they got power on their life. See their faces? But you know, now they have to learn how to steward this thing. See this? And we all have to. And this young lady that has to learn how to steward this power. Now watch this. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Witness. What's a witness? A witness is one who takes the stand. See, the courtroom of heaven is in session over the earth. And there's trials going on every day. Anybody been in any trials? There's one honest person in the whole bunch. So, the courtroom of heaven is in session. You're to be a witness in your family. Right at home. With your children. They're watching you. You're to take a stand for Jesus. See that? Take the witness stand. On your job, you're to be a witness. Take a stand. People want to come in and get in all these conversations and get you away from doing your work that aren't promoting anything or helping anything. You take a stand and you stay busy. Right? Take a stand for Jesus everywhere you go. Go. Kroger's, you take a stand. Wherever you are, you be a witness. That's what he's saying. Till the end of the earth, we're to take a stand. See that? And that's really how it's supposed to be. You know, I tell you, when you have this working in your life, when Jesus is alive in your life, it changes your marriage, it changes your family, it changes everything. Donita and I were out. We went to dinner, and then we went to Kroger's Friday night. And we were just shopping in Kroger's, carrying on, laughing and carrying on. This young man saw us. He said, "Hey, I like your shirt. Because you guys seem happy." I thought, okay. I told him about Jesus. You know, but he already had Jesus. But you know, he noticed something. I mean, in Kroger's, I've never met this guy. We was in not Kroger's in Sydney, Kroger's in Huber Heights. Yeah. Just out of the blue. Then we started talking. And Donita said, "I gotta go." So she went ahead and did the shopping. By her bad self. For 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Then she went through all the store and then back. There we were. Still talking. But God wants us to be a witness. See this? And he was looking. You could tell he's hungry. He's hungry. He's looking for direction in his life. And I helped him. I shared some things with him. He's writing them down. He's putting them on his phone. Is this making sense? God wants us to be a witness everywhere. So, but now this power is something we're going to talk about. God has created us to have power and wants to give you power, but he's looking for those who he can trust with his power. He wants to be able to trust you with his power. See, how you respond to success and how you respond to being blessed is really the test. You see that? That's the test. Some people get blessed and it goes to their head. They think they're all that and a bag of chips. But, you see, you can't let that, you have to know where it comes from. See this? You have to know where it comes from. And you got to give him the glory, right? How you respond to power and how do you respond to authority? How do you respond to influence? You see, all of us, God wants us all to have influence. Your response is what God is looking for. Your response is your responsibility. Now let's break that down. Responsibility. Ability is power. That's what it means. In other words, God gives you the power, but it's really connected to how you respond towards people, towards circumstances, towards situations, towards how people are treating you. How are you responding? See this? And this is what God is looking at in all of our lives. Now, the power and the blessings reveal your true character. Your true character. Oh, I had something I wanted to read to you from. I like this. This is Abraham Lincoln. Nearly all men can stand adversity. Can stand adversity. But if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Give him power. See that? Anytime you get promoted, God is behind it. And he's looking how you treat people. Are you blowing a gasket and screaming at them because they didn't do it the way it made you look bad? Or are you going to them and talking to them and helping them with the situation? Are you listening to me? God is testing you with the responsibility he's given you. And he wants to release his power in your life. How are you responding to what he's entrusted you with? Is this making sense? If God blesses believers and they don't have the character necessary to handle the blessing, they will fall or misuse that blessing for selfish reasons. Selfish ambitions. Selfishness. That's what takes place. When you misuse power, it's steeped in selfishness. You want the credit. You don't want them to make you look bad. You know, I used to see this when I was when I worked for Miles Laboratories before I became a pastor 20-some years ago. And I remember I was young and I was working there, and all these scientists and engineers worked there. And they would get these jobs. They were always out of school, college fresh, you know. And they were ruthless. I mean, they were like, because this was a new company in Dayton and growing and doing very well. And they would do anything to get promoted. Make you look bad. I mean, conjure up stuff to make you look bad to try to make themselves look good and elevate themselves. And it worked a lot of times. Because a lot of people that were up there were the same way. Is this making sense? And they, I remember they came to me and asked me if I wanted a promotion. I said, nope, I don't want it. I saw what everybody was involved in. It wasn't because I thought I was better or anything. It's just I thought, I don't think I want that. I didn't have Christ at the time, but I got saved after 5 years of being there, and it changed. Making sense? Now, go with me, Genesis chapter 41, verse 37 through 44. You know, a good place to start with responsibility and power is when you have a dog. Do you take care of the dog? That's why I haven't gotten another dog. It's too much responsibility. Olivia said a couple times, well, let's get a dog. Pops, I said, well, you know, if she kept on, I might. But she backed off a little bit. But see, here's the idea. You got to bathe them. You got to take them to the vet. You got to walk them. You got to have fun with them, right? And then when something happens to them, then you're all messed up for a month when they die on you, right? Anybody ever had a dog? Boy, they're some good friends, aren't they? They're always glad to see you. Yeah, but how you take care of them is important. And you know what? You young people, how you do your chores at home. See that? How you're doing things at home. That's responsibility. How you take care of things. That's responsibility. That's huge. That's going to determine the power and the authority that God's going to trust you with. That sounds silly. That's really how it is. Now let's look at this. So the advice was good. This is talking to Joseph. This is about Joseph. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Now Pharaoh's telling Joseph how wise he is and how discerning he is. Now you know that would go to most people's heads. Here's the leader of Egypt telling you how wise you are and how discerning you are. And most people, that go right to their head. So if people are telling you how gifted you are and how good you are at something, don't let it go to your head, because it's not you. It's not you. I'm just here to tell you. Stay with me here. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh's saying that Joseph is over all the people, and people are going to live by what he says. That's a lot of power and a lot of authority, isn't it? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck, and he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man will lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." That's power and that's authority. Now, Joseph, his brothers abandoned him when he was 17 and beat him up because they were jealous of the father's relationship with Joseph. He gave him a coat of many colors, and Joseph told him his dream. He said, "One day I'm going to rule over you." They didn't like that. They said, "You're going to rule over me. Okay, we'll see." They whooped their brother, put him in a pit. Israelites came by and they sold him into slavery. Beat him up. One translation said they tar and feathered him. Left him for dead. And then sold him, ended up selling him. When you sold a person into slavery, you were done. Sold him into slavery. So here he is, sold into slavery, and now he's in Potiphar's house, a slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar sees what's on him, and he makes him in charge of his house. Now he's in charge of Potiphar's house. Potiphar had a beautiful wife. She got a little frisky. Yeah, that's a good word. Frisky. Towards Joseph, because it said Joseph was handsome and easy on the eyes, the Bible says. And so she kept trying to get him to have relations with him. And he refused her every time. He said, "How could I do this against my God?" And so she accused him of rape. And they put him in prison for being accused of rape for something he didn't do. So now they put him in prison, and now the prison sees how good he is. And they put him in charge in the prison. Anybody had been accused of rape lately? Anybody been beaten by their family and left in a pit lately? I'd say that's pretty difficult, wouldn't you? He kept his character, kept his relationship with God. See that? And he kept getting promoted. So he's in prison. Now he gets out of prison. And then Pharaoh puts him in charge. Then all of his family has to come and get food. They had a famine, and his brothers that put him in the pit, they come and they're hungry. They're starving. No food. Joseph's in charge. They come and they look. They see his brother. They didn't even know it was his brother in charge. And his brother looked at him. Joseph looked at him and said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good."
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.